for the past 25 years or so, I have had a career working as a screenwriter. And other than on a few very special and rarefied occasions, it's been a complicated and in many ways difficult career, which is true not just for me but for all screenwriters, because it is of course an art form and a business, and the two don't mix all that well. When they do mix, magic happens. But in the last week, Hollywood and I have, in a way, parted company. Not in a definitive sense, because nothing there is terribly definitive, but a project I was working on seems to have come to an end or an impasse. But whatever it is, my agent said to me, "Would you like me to find you another job?" And I said no. And it was the first time I'd ever said no. And when I hung up the phone, I went and spoke with Blanche, and I said, "You know, I think I just retired." It was a very strange experience. There was nothing particularly dramatic about it. If anything, it was very, very quiet. And it may not even be true. But the experience of the moment is that that which has on many levels defined me as a person for a very long time in my life has kind of fallen away. It doesn't mean that I'm not a writer and that I won't continue to write, but I won't, as far as I can tell, continue to write for hire. In other words, as a job, which I've needed to do to support my family and, in a sense, a lifestyle. So, although I've been aiming at this for a long time, I didn't expect it to kind of just happen. And now that it's happened, there's a kind of quiet, cataclysmic effect that goes along with that. And the effect is only just starting. Blanche told me this morning I should keep a diary, trying to understand it, which may be valuable. But if anything, I guess this is entry number one. The cataclysm of no longer being who you were, of giving up an identity. I mean, others may still see you with an identity, but for me, waking up in the morning and knowing what I do, what I plan to do, has almost always been centered around a kind of work. And that work had a lot of impact, a lot of power in defining who I was, who I am, what I'm about, how I'm perceived in the world, where my level of comfort, security, and in the end, safety comes from. And when you retire, I don't think most people sense how much they walk away from. It's not just pattern, which is a big part of it. It's not just, what do I do today? It's, what am I, who am I, why am I? Now, I have dealt with all of these questions spiritually for, you know, much longer than I've had this career, actually. But having it come into absolute concrete expression is very powerful. And my experience, particularly yesterday, was one of a kind of real sadness, a real sense of loss, a kind of floundering in what do I do with the next moment. Knowing that I had spiritual resources to draw upon, but also finding them not completely satisfying. There I was, sort of like a fish out of water, literally flopping on the banks of the ocean. And the experience for me is, in a sense, everything I have been asking for. But as you all know from years of immersion in this world, beware of what you ask for. Because it brings with it a kind of kind of truth and unfolding that is not always easy. In the end, we all retire, whether you want it or not. In the ultimate sense, we all ultimately leave that which defines us, that which makes us comfortable, that which was what our life was about. In the end, we are either gently or more dramatically ripped from our identity and ourself. And if you think retiring is floundering, try suddenly being completely taken out of what and who you are and what your life has been about. It's a very powerful, transitory, transitional, and essential part of human experience. And in a way, I'm getting to watch it very consciously. The first thing that happens for most people who retire is they get to go to their to-do list or their bucket list. Now what do I do? What do I do? But I've never had a to-do list. I barely have a project list. All I ever do is write. It's really what I do, or sit, or read the newspaper. So I'm really facing the future, if you will, or the present, which is really more the context of it, with nothing. I have nothing to do. Now, can I create things to do? Absolutely. But the power of this seems to me to be in not doing that. Not trying to create anything to do and watch what happens. Watch what and who I am where nothing is there to be done. Just watch. So, yesterday I was trying to do that. And it was unbelievably uncomfortable. Really disturbingly uncomfortable. I desperately wanted to do something, and so I read a script of a good friend of mine that I had been promising to read for months and months and hadn't been able to get to. And I realized I only have a few more of those things. So the question will be, what arrives? Well, luckily I have some things arriving. I have a grandchild arriving, which is huge, and I have a play opening next year, which is huge. So there's stuff that's coming to me, which I am almost rewarded by, in a sense. But there isn't a lot for me to do in those arenas. So not doing seems to me to be a great teaching. And I'll tell you more about it as I learn from it. But the only thing I can tell you at this moment is that retirement without something to do brings you face to face with something that you don't get to look at very often. And that is yourself. There you are, with nothing in front of you except getting up in the morning and a day, a whole day. Now, when I was a kid, there was nothing better in the world than getting up in the morning and having a whole day. It was the most thrilling thing imaginable. It was full of potential and opportunity and things and the unexpected. And on occasion, I would wake up and go, I'm bored. I tell my mother, I'm bored, because I didn't know what to do. And my mother was really extraordinary about providing with a list of things. Blanche did that with our kids as well. She would make them draw up a list and you'd find 30 things to do. But now there's no one giving me that list, and I have to draw it up myself, and I'm choosing not to draw it up. So it is absolute one-on-one, me and it, if you will, or life uninterrupted, unmolded, not being molded, letting it just be. A thing that arose yesterday was the realization that a play that I had wanted to see for the last year and a half was closing today. And I suddenly developed a kind of panic that I've missed this play, and maybe I can get down to the city this evening to see the last performance of it. And a sense of incredible urgency to see this play, it's called Our Town, by the way, which I love, to see this play, to get there, and to have this experience was so important to me. And I went online, tried calling the theater, I finally realized that it was completely sold out. And that I would never in my lifetime, ever, get to see this production. And the finality of that was more than just not getting to see a play. It was finality itself. I simply would never have this in my life. I got so sad last night, so overwhelmingly sad, with a sense of loss and finality, that I realized, imagine what it's like to leave this life without getting to see, name your own list, that play, that grandchild grow up, that movie you wanted to see, what that thing in the future you wanted fulfilled. Imagine none of that in your life. That you just had to suddenly go, it's over. It's a wrenching, wrenching experience to feel that. And yet it is what we will all feel at some point. We will be asked to leave this world incomplete. We will be asked to leave our life with things undone, things unfulfilled, the story in progress and not knowing the end, except for your own end. How do you ever prepare yourself for that? Well, retirement is a good approach. And then there's the spiritual dynamic. What is the spiritual practice that we've all been engaging? What does it bring to all of this? Well, it's probably the only tool available, ultimately, for dealing with cataclysm. And even though it is a remarkable tool, it in no way separated me from suffering yesterday. And I look forward to the weeks ahead. I look forward both with expectation and also because that's what's in front of me, knowing that this tool of absolute acceptance, non-struggle, non-resistance, opening to nothing, opening to whatever is, and if there's nothing there, staying open, feeling available, feeling love, feeling unthreatened, feeling whole, is my work. And this was much easier to do when I had a job, when I knew what my day was. Much easier. Because I filled 90% of my day with work, with my own life-supporting, self-supporting, family-supporting work. And so now it's all the same thing, but none of that's there. So where will this lead? I cannot tell you. I mean, it doesn't seem to be, you know, that hard to imagine. I suspect things will come. I suspect stuff will arrive. Or if it doesn't, stuff will arrive within me to tell me what to do. So I suspect life gets full again in its own way, and a redefinition occurs, which you also at some point have to separate from. I suspect something all happens. It keeps going. I don't believe I will spend the rest of my life on the golf course. It doesn't feel like that's in the cards, but who knows? You know, you could be surprised. I really think it will be a one-on-one dialogue with the unknown, with uncertainty, and even perhaps with this feeling of catastrophe. But my experience is, and we've all had this, that time heals wounds, and even more than that, immersion in the timeless heals wounds. The timeless is the space in which all of this struggle and catastrophic experience dissolves. It is in the timeless that none of it really matters. And so the real test of spiritual development is entering into that catastrophic space consciously, willingly, and openly, and letting it do its work. That's all it is. Let it do its work. But do not run from it. Do not run to the next preoccupation, to the next distraction, to the next thing to do. You can go to things to do, but don't run toward them. Mostly, allow them to come to you and see, I think, what happens as they arise. And you can engage or not engage, but the important thing is to try to find the respite that exists in this not doing. You know, the Buddhist principle that we are not doing, you know, it is happening. It is. Most of us really don't get that. We all think we're doing, that we're all responsible for doing, but not doing is a great teacher. And allowing yourself to see not doing firsthand is very valuable. So, this is the moment in my life from which I can begin to speak. I think it has value. For all I know, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, I'll be doing again. You know? You can make pronouncements all the time, but life fools you. But right at this very moment, I really do get it. I really do get what awaits all of us, called retirement. And again, I'm not talking retirement into a release from jobs. I'm talking ultimate retirement. It's coming. It comes. It's there. And all of us, somehow or another, have to find our way into it. And the best way to discover that is, I think, to begin to practice it. And in my situation, It may be a little more than practice. But the fact is, for the last years of my life, it's really what I've been doing. I have really been slowly, carefully letting go, letting go. And then there's always the stuff that you haven't let go of that finally announces itself to you. It's a surprise when you realize how much identity is formed in particular aspects of your life. And when you start to see what those are and let go, be it a job, be it a role that you play in someone's life, you know, the helper, the friend, the caretaker, the boss, whatever it is you play, and you have to let go of that, you are completely redefining your sense of you. And as you redefine your sense of you, you become freed from that sensibility and you start to become something else. And it's really called, if you will, a presence. You are just a presence. And what is that presence if it's not defined by roles? It's presence. It's just presence. And what do people love about you? Usually it's your presence. It's not the fact that you're an artist, a doctor, an antique dealer. They love that you are you. And so when you let these roles fall away, when you let your identity fall away, you don't become less, you become whole. You become who you are without the definition of these extraneous ideas and roles. You just become you. And that is something that you practice day by day, so when the catastrophic loss occurs, perhaps it will transfer itself through the system faster and more gently than it might otherwise. I'll let you know. So, anyway, just deeply understand that we're all heading in the same direction. Any questions? Okay. Thank you, guys.